Happy Pride! Happy Pride season! This is Interpod, a podcast by Interpride where the world comes together for the LGBTQIA+ community. I'm Michelle Miao, your host. It's Pride Month in some parts of the world, especially the Western Hemisphere, where it's recognized due to the first Pride or Stonewall riots. We have a great episode in which you can look back to the history of Pride, especially World Pride. Visit interpride.org to listen to it. While we're all navigating how we're recognizing Pride for those who can celebrate in person, there are many parts of the world that still cannot have Pride due to the political persecution, homophobia, and transphobia of LGBTQIA+ people. In this episode, we focus on how policies prevent our LGBTQIA+ community from being able to live their lives equally. We speak to Danny Dehashu, who brought a case to the Namibian High Court arguing that his marriage to his husband should be recognized. The court ruled against his family, citing a 20-year-old Supreme Court ruling that same-sex marriage is not recognized in Namibia. Let's listen to Danny.
My name is Daniel Dehashu. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm a full-time father. I met my partner, Johan, back in 2010, I think. End of 2010, and we got into a relationship, I think beginning of 2011. We met through Facebook, and then we got into a relationship. Things got serious, and we started talking about getting married. And we did that after 6 years of being together. We got married in 2016, around there. And then we adopted our son a while after getting married. And then we decided to move to Namibia, where we shortly realized that our marriage was not recognized. And I could not then work or do anything, really. That's how I actually became a full-time father. I've had to give up all the rights to work or do anything else, honestly. We then took the matter to the court because I was denied my work permit, and I'm only allowed to be in the country on a visitor's visa that's renewable every 3 months. So yeah, that's pretty much how I became a stay-at-home full-time father.
You had to fight in order to stay with your family. Talk to us about that process.
It was obviously a very stressful process, but what initially happened was when we decided to move to Namibia, my husband is from here, so we wanted to also get to know his family better and for our child to build relationships with them and connections with that side of the family. So we had a tourism company that we had registered with the ministry here in Namibia. And then I would have had to apply for a worker's permit. When we approached the Office of the Home Affairs to tell them that we are married, we were told that our marriage was not recognized. So we should avoid having to apply for things like domicile or permanent residency based solely on the marriage. So we then opted to go with their advice and applied for a worker's visa under the company that we both owned. And when that was rejected, and the appeal for that was rejected, we had no other solution but to go to the court, because we did believe that it was rejected based on the fact that we are a gay couple and are married in South Africa.
Share with us the marriage equality laws in Namibia, or lack thereof.
There is definitely a big lack of that, the marriage equality. I say this because, I mean, any other straight couple that is married and one partner would be from, you know, South Africa or any other country, but what one partner would be from Namibia, gets permanent residency by default. So for the fact that I am not allowed to get that, says a lot. It means that there is no marriage equality here. And also for the fact that gay people cannot get married. I think our constitution is it's quite good because I don't remember it saying man and woman, just that an adult, a person of legal age, is allowed to marry. So I think a lot of it is, I don't know what it's stemming or rooting from, but there is definitely lack of equality, more especially when it comes to LGBT people in this country.
What was the decision of the court case?
They could not grant us our wishes at the High Court. The judgment pretty much says that they could not overrule the previous Supreme Court ruling, which was made on the Frank case. I think this was back in 2000. There was a similar case that went to the Supreme Court, and the ruling was against the LGBT people. So the High Court did not say they're not granting our wishes based on our stories not making sense to them, but based on the previous Supreme Court ruling. And the judge, when she was reading out the ruling, did also mention that they don't stand or agree with the previous ruling. But unfortunately, the Supreme Court is a higher court than the High Court, so they may not overrule that ruling.
Which in some ways is very positive news.
Yeah.
It does showcase that we have an issue with the decision from the past, but it doesn't necessarily reflect, you know, the present. What do you think could change the systems in Namibia to allow for a law to change or to include marriage equality?
I honestly really don't know what could change. The only thing I can think about is maybe desensitizing, you know, the society and the systems, and for our people to be a bit more visible, which is happening, which is a great thing. We're having currently a lot of movements that fight for gay rights and gay marriage and equality. And I think that is very important, because the more of us that, you know, get seen out there and are fighting for the rights, I think the more people get to see that we are also just only human, and we also just want the rights that are granted by default to other people and other citizens. So I think these visible movements that are currently happening are what was needed, because I remember when we moved here, it was very, very quiet when it comes to, you know, things like gay movements and gay rights and, you know, just gay community as a whole. We didn't see a lot of things happening, where now we have things like the drag nights, where people come out and they have this fantastic time, and it's a beautiful thing to see. And we have, I think, an organization called Pride Pop-Up. So they have pop-up events for Pride, but it happens throughout the year. And I think these are things that are really, really important for people to see, that people like us do exist, and they are real, and they are their children and children of friends. So I think that visibility is a big thing, and for the gay community to work together and to show themselves out there, and to desensitize the society, and to challenge the system, really.
How is your family doing since the court case ruling? Tell us about what life is like for you, even if the court could not grant you your equal rights.
We have decided to just continue living. We've had to, unfortunately, pull our kid out of traditional school, but for many, many more reasons. But obviously the newspapers and the rulings and the media was part of it, because we wanted to avoid bullying in the school as much as possible. So we've had to opt for homeschooling for him. And after the ruling, I've also decided to just get out there a bit more in terms of activism or soft activism. I'm working a lot alongside with Positive Vibes, Salen from Positive Vibes, who's gently guiding me into this active, soft activism world. But we're doing great. We can't complain a lot. Obviously, if the ruling was in our favor, it would have changed a lot of things. I mean, regarding my life personally, I think my boys are still all right, but I still feel robbed of my right to live and to do the things that I would want to do. And I feel like I still do not have a choice, really, but to not do a lot. And the fact that we are not willing to relocate back to South Africa still means I am without rights for the time being until the matter is heard at the Supreme Court. And hopefully that is a victory for us and I can continue with my life. It pretty much feels like one's life has been on pause for so many years and it just never seems to be coming to an end. But we try to approach this in a positive manner and hope and have faith in the system that this gets corrected pretty soon.
Last question for you, and it's for the world that's listening, Pride organizers from around the world. If you could leave us with your final thoughts, the importance of having laws to protect queer people wherever we are, and perhaps also include positive parting words for those to not give up.
I feel it's important to find your own clan, find a group of people who believe in the same things you believe in when it comes to LGBT rights. Those are the people that are going to see you through the lowest of lows. And just hang in there. It does come to an end. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it will, but I can promise you everything comes to an end. And you have to look at it this way also. If you shy away from the issue and the next person shies away, when is it going to stop? Maybe if you feel like you can take on the fight, it's obviously also very financially burdening. So if you feel like you can take on the fight and you've got the financial support and you've got support of the loved ones, maybe then you are the person to take on the fight. And that is part of your purpose in life. And, you know, we hope that at the end, the ultimate outcome, we come out victorious in this whole thing. And then that means one more part of the world has been freed. And that means one more part of the world welcomes the LGBT people. I would just say, keep on fighting the good fight. It doesn't have to be aggressive or, you know, a hard fight. You can get out there, use your voice. You can speak, you can comfort people and let people comfort you. It's not always about aggression. You can just find your clan, find the people who will love you exactly as you are, who will support your cause, who will be there when you feel like crying, and they will hold you. Just keep fighting.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you for sharing your story. This is why the work continues, and it continues for every day of our lives until we're all equal. We are not equal until all of us are equal. Keep fighting and keep celebrating. Happy Pride, everyone. Visit our website, interpride.org, to find out more information, especially about our upcoming annual general members meeting and world conference that's happening in late October in Guadalajara. There you can also find more episodes of Interpod and information about our scholarship fund. This is Interpod, a podcast by Interpride, where the world comes together for the LGBTQIA+ community.